Well, good afternoon. This is Glenn Coble, and you're joining A Progressive Life here on WWGH, and we will bring in our guest as usual. Dr. Feynman, are you there?
Yes, and I'm not very happy about the results last night.
Well, I didn't think you would be. You and my wife. not that I'm happy about it, but my wife really takes it to heart, and she is not a happy camper this
week. Well, Virginia, I thought, had gone blue, but now it's back to purple.
Yeah.
And that's alarming, I think. Yeah. And New Jersey, looks like the governor, Phil Murphy, will win, but my God, how close the election is.
It's 65 votes right now, the last...
Oh, actually, it's more updated. The Republican was ahead by about 65 votes, so the last I looked, Murphy's ahead by, I think, 1,700 votes or something like that.
Okay, so some late votes are helping the...
The Democrat, yeah. I mean, yeah. New Jersey, nobody really thought there was much of a chance, for the Republican to win, but I woke up, I couldn't believe it.
Well, we've had a similar situation here in Marion, in that we now have six of our nine council people am I getting that name right? Well, anyway, six of nine are Republicans.
How many were Republican before?
I think it was about even.
How many?
I think it was like four to five, something.
So they gained one or two, yeah.
They gained, and that's a significant gain here in Marion, because, if you're ahead 2-1, you're pretty much going to get done what you want to get done. Not only that, but we had that thing, I'm sure you've listened to it while you were listening for us to come on, where we had our city auditor was kind of in trouble, is still in trouble, and the three people that supported him are three of the people that got the new jobs. So it's kind of hairy around here, but
if you support someone who's under scandal, it doesn't help you.
Well, it didn't seem to hurt him. I'll put it that way. So I'm not quite sure what's
going on. So those people got elected despite backing him?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were saying the opposite.
No,
okay, well, that's good.
And they have
that's as good.
And they have to decide whether any action is going to be taken against him.
Is he a Republican?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So the three people who backed him and got reelected are Republicans?
Yeah. That's correct.
Okay, well, then I'm not so happy.
Well, now, how's that happening down there in Florida, other than the fact that your weather's got to be a lot warmer than ours?
Actually, it's a little cooler. It's about 10, I'd say about 8 to 10 degrees lower. So it reaches maybe up to 80 at the most.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. Nice and cool.
But it's also in the high 60s, low 70s in the evening, which is nice, you know.
Yeah, we're getting down into the 20s in the evening.
Oh, my God.
So did you have local races and stuff like that?
Well, there was a congressional race for Alcee Hastings, who died this year, for his seat, the African-American congressperson. And there were a lot of candidates, and the two that seemed to be almost tied are not the two that many people thought were going to be the choice. So the one that was endorsed by the local newspaper ended up sixth.
Oh, my.
So I was really surprised myself. I wasn't involved in that vote, of course, and I didn't really know much about them, but this one young man, African-American, they're all African-American, though, in that district, was supposedly the favored one, but he really did poorly. So I guess you'd say more moderate people were in the top two slots.
Okay.
I think that's what we're seeing. People, I hate to say it, if you're really too progressive right now, I think it's bad. And I wrote on my blog this morning, I think when you look back now, we don't want to accept it. It's because they did not, the Democrats in Congress, move on the physical infrastructure bill, and they allowed themselves to be tied down by the House Progressive Caucus, that they had to do both at the same time, and nothing was accomplished by Election Day. And I think if they had passed the physical infrastructure bill, I think the Virginia might have stayed blue.
Yeah, and I think they were kind of limping toward that right up until Monday, but it didn't get done. So that's a shame, because I think that affected people here at the local level, even though
yes.
some of our local politicians disagree with that. I think it did affect at the local. We have a treasurer that's been, I think he's been the treasurer of the city. He's a Democrat. I think 14 to 16 years, something like that, and he was ousted by a gentleman that is not.
By a very small margin, huh?
Yeah, we did. Most of our votes were very slow, very close. But
the country's basically evenly divided. That's what it tells us all
yeah.
across the country. It really is. There's no real mandate on either side at this point. So I'm concerned about next year with the congressional elections and the gubernatorial elections.
Yeah. Well, now, one of the things that Scott and I have talked about, well, we did today specifically, is that there really isn't, the Democrats don't seem to show fire in the belly, whereas the Republicans, right or wrong, there's fire in the belly. And I don't know why.
Yeah, the Republicans are always more aggressive, even on the national level.
Well,
Democrats just, I don't know what it is. They don't fight tough. They really don't.
I read an several interesting articles about the nature of a conservative person over a more liberal person, and one of the things is they're more relying on fight or flight type of attitude, and that's pretty aggressive, fight or flight, you know, and also they found out that they're more black and white, let's put it that way.
Well, I don't think there's any question about
yeah.
that. And I think that there's a feeling among liberals or progressives that they have idealism, and that's great, but actually you can't run governments on idealism.
No, you can't.
You just can't, and you have to be willing to compromise and accept less. And this whole battle over $3.5 trillion would have been great. Now it's $1.75 trillion, but still problems from Sinema and Manchin. I don't know what's going to be the end result, but I think both House Progressive Caucus on one side and Sinema and Manchin on the other side both can be blamed for what happened.
Well, there was an interesting note that just came across on my phone about, I don't know, half an hour ago, that Pelosi now is putting back into the big bill family...
4 weeks of family leave.
Yes. And wouldn't that indicate that maybe there's some negotiating going on under this, you know, because that had been ripped out of it, if I...
Yeah, remember. And it should not have been. But
yeah.
they want to have 12 weeks, but at least 4 weeks would be something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but will Manchin and Sinema go along with this?
Well,
no.
I'm guessing if she threw that out there, they've already talked to them. About
very
that.
Unpredictable, though.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a problem, but again, as I say, they're a problem, but if the Georgia Senate seats had not gone to the Democrats in January, we wouldn't have had a Democratic Senate anyway, so we're stuck.
It would have been a...
Republican Senate.
Do nothing.
None of this would have been done.
Yeah, it would
so
have.
You have to be unhappy about Sinema and Manchin, but thankful for the two Georgia senators,
you know. Yeah, well, you probably made my wife's day by saying that the New Jersey governor, it looks like it's sliding back to the Democrats.
And also, the area that has not yet been counted, they think, is more blue, so he should gain beyond the 1,700. The last I looked, it may be more than that now. But, I mean, Phil Murphy, I thought, was doing a very good job as governor. But you got to realize New Jersey is one of the highest taxed states, and Republicans always talk about cutting property taxes very high in New Jersey and in other states like New York. And I think the tax issue is what makes people maybe go to the Republicans. But they have to realize when you cut taxes, you cut services. People
yeah.
don't seem to connect the two.
Well, no, we were talking about that, about the local things, and potholes are not Democratic or Republican.
You're right.
Sewers are not Democratic or Republican. But the fact is, if the Republican decides not to spend the money to fix the bottle or the sewers, then it becomes kind of a Democratic issue, I guess.
After the fact. But
yeah,
right now, people think about money, and they don't think about what's going to be next year or the year after. Everything is now.
Now, on the big bill, the Build Back Better bill, they are going to have to go up, what is that called, where they...
Reconciliation.
No, there's a group that... finds out whether it will actually cost money or what's the name?
I can't think of the name. I know what you mean.
You know what I mean. Now, yeah. It's got to go before that, before it can even go to the I believe.
And I know Manchin wants to know every line of the... In theory, I can't disagree. Every line of the budget, exactly what's being spent on what. But most times, you know, when the House and Senate vote, they don't look at the details. They vote in the broad sense, and then we learn after the fact.
Well, and I think the fact that it's going to go before this organization that basically does count the numbers and tell them where they're going to pay for it and how much they don't have to pay for it, I think that will help with Manchin because it's going to be black and white.
Is it the Bureau of the Budget that does that? I'm trying to think the name of what you're talking about.
There's a group, and they do all of the bills.
The Club for Economic Growth? I'm just not sure. I'm trying to figure out what you mean. I generally know what you mean, but I can't think of the specific group.
It's a three-letter acronym, and I can't pull it up right now. But,
oh, boy. Well, right now, I can't think of it.
Now, did you get any sleep last night?
Actually, I did. I went to bed at about 11 o'clock Eastern Time, got up about 6, and, you know, and everything was very unsettled, although it seemed very close in Virginia. But I really thought, oh, come on, you know, the Democrats are going to win. And then woke up to discover by not very much of a margin, only by about 70,000 votes. And then the lieutenant governor won by fewer votes in Virginia. And the state attorney general is still contested. It's only about 30,000 votes. Again, like in Florida, we get elected people, we elect people who always win by 1% or less in most cases, and that goes on a lot of places. So the idea that, I don't feel like voting, it matters to vote. Everybody needs to vote, but if people decide, I'll stay out of it, or I'm not interested, it does affect what happens.
Well, when I saw this morning at 9 o'clock, it was 65 vote difference between the two governors in New Jersey, I thought, there are people that are waking up and going, why didn't I vote?
and the Republican was leading, but now Murphy is leading, but, you know, it's still unsettled. I guess later today we'll know, but...
Yeah, all right, well, and it'll probably have to go through, it'll probably be close enough that it'll have to be a recount,
yes. That's going to happen with this Florida congressional district. The top two candidates are very small margin, one over the other, so it's going to be a recount, yes.
Yeah. Well, I got interesting news today from our local historian, Fred Malone. He told me that I'm going to be sitting at the Harding table at the Meet and Dine with the Presidents.
Oh, when is that?
It's on the 6th of November, and it's a Saturday, so I get to dress up. I haven't dressed up in, I don't know, 5 years. And I get to dress up and go sit at the Harding table. Now, Mr. Harding is not going to be able to make it, we understand.
Oh, my, so who's going to replace him?
Apparently me.
But you're not going to be Harding. No, you're not going to be dressed as Harding, right?
No, and I don't know enough about Harding to play that game.
Yeah, well, jokingly, you know, you should invite Calvin Coolidge. He succeeded Harding.
I'm trying to see. No, Calvin Coolidge isn't one.
He wouldn't say much, though. Yeah. Solid Cal.
Yeah. Now, I have... Fred has mentioned to me that he'd like me to consider being Buchanan. And as the president, and learning about him and taking up his mantle, but I haven't gotten there yet. I have done some research, but not enough.
Who is this now?
Buchanan, President Buchanan.
Oh, my. Do you realize Buchanan is made at the very bottom of all presidents?
Well, and he's suspected to be gay, so it's...
Well, he might have been, you know. It's hard to know. Yeah. You know, he was once engaged, and then it didn't work out. And then he did live with the later, briefly, Vice President King under Franklin Pierce. But he died after a month. He was in Cuba, and he was sick, and he never came. He was inaugurated in Cuba. William King. It's really weird. A vice president inaugurated in Cuba and dying a month into the term. And Franklin Pierce had just lost his son in a train accident on the way to the inauguration. Unbelievable. It was the only child that was left. The other two sons had died. And he started to drink. He became an alcoholic, and his wife closed the curtains of the White House. And that four-year period was horrible with the Kansas-Nebraska Act and the start of the Civil War in Kansas. It was a really terrible time in the 1850s. Then Buchanan comes in, and he's considered even worse than Pierce.
I understand that it will be heavy on my shoulder to be this gentleman, but and I really haven't committed to it. I may. I don't know.
Are you going to dress up to be like him?
Oh, you have to. If you do this...
That's next year, I guess.
It would be next year.
But you're not going to dress up as Harding this time.
No, I'm not.
Or Calvin Coolidge. Well, actually, Calvin Coolidge, I'm joking. You couldn't be Calvin Coolidge. He was very thin.
Yeah, I couldn't be him, no. I couldn't even be close to him. Yeah. Hey, by the way, I wanted to mention this, and it has nothing to do with our show, but did you see the little picture of me sitting amongst the students on my little ad for the show? If you didn't, take a look at it, because the young...
Oh, yes, I see in the middle, yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the middle. The girl right in front of me, that is Lillian Gerwitz, and she was the lady who she and her brother took me to the synagogue for... And they also took me to Jewish school one.
Oh, Hebrew school, yeah.
The Hebrew school, and so it was kind of neat to see her again. And I forgot all about that. So she's
sitting below you.
Yeah, she's right below me.
But her brother isn't in the picture.
He's not in the picture, but
I gotta say, you look so nice in that picture. You look like a leader. You really do.
Well, my dad made me wear a tie.
No, but you look good, and I can see the greatness of you in the future, including the radio show you're on.
Yeah, there's greatness everywhere. That's why I lost in both of my elections.
Well, but that's a local job. It's not amazing. But I'm curious, the people around you, do you know any of them still, the people in the photograph?
Okay, you know, surprisingly enough, Lillian and I are still talk to each other on Facebook occasionally.
Okay, what about the others?
Tommy, the African-American kid right behind me, I think I've talked to him once or twice on Facebook, and...
So all these people are your age now.
Yeah, they're all my age. Many of them probably are passed on, so...
A few passed on?
I don't know, but there are very few of them. I think I talked to about, on Facebook, I talked to about three or four of all my...
Yeah, it was a long time ago, my gosh. But it's interesting, you had a really racially balanced group of students.
Yeah, South Bend, Indiana has always been fairly...
But back in your time, when you were that age, I wouldn't have thought so, you know?
My high school was 30% African-American, so...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we were... well, we lived in the bad part of town, you know, where all those funny colored people were.
Well, I'm glad that because you learned a lesson for life, that you accept people as they are, not their skin color or religion, you know?
The greatest lesson in my entire life was living in South Bend, Indiana, and playing football and running track, and with my... some of my best friends who were African American, and I never, I truly didn't even know that. I guess I did know it, but it wasn't.
Well,
something.
I'll tell you, racism comes about because of parents who promote it. I still believe it. No kid is going to feel that way. It's the parents or other people, adults around the kids that do that to them.
Yeah.
This whole CRT thing, you know, like somebody sent me a meme of a person at the junior saying, I don't know what CRT is, I just know that it's communism and I don't like it. Oh my God.
Well, you're going to have to tune into my show tomorrow. Because I'm doing it's not communism. I listened to a seminar on being Nazi.
And yes, I know you were telling me that.
I'm going to do that tomorrow in my early show, and there are going to be people that don't like my show. So.
Yeah, and by the way, what again are you doing next week when I will once I'm not be able to be on your show because I'm going to be doing a lecture on Lincoln and the Civil War presidents?
You mean other than crying in my pillow?
Well, I think you have a plan, but I'm just trying to remember what you're going to do next week.
I really have no plan.
I thought what you're doing tomorrow you were going to do next week.
Well, I was going to do that, but I now have nothing to do tomorrow, so I decided to move it forward. But I'm going to have something good by then. I might do a thing on communism. And I've matter of fact, last night, or not last night, two nights ago, I was looking through my... I have a place where I can go and look at lectures. And I did look at a lecture about communism, and I thought maybe it wouldn't... I've been called a communist, so...
That's so ridiculous.
Yeah, I know.
And socialist.
Yes.
Without understanding a lot of things we have, we're socialist ideas, but we don't want to give them up.
Yeah. It may be a thing on socialism next week.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
I would say, why don't you have Adam Lepp on? He has a slightly different way of looking at things, but he's an interesting guy, as we all know. and discuss what's happened in the elections and give him 45 minutes of that.
He's going to be on with us tomorrow because we had a situation where all the we got a bunch of votes right, you know, an hour after the polls closed, and then didn't hear from the election people for 3.5 hours. And
oh, wow.
That was just neither Democrat or Republican parties thought that was good. So
yeah.
he's doing.
Well, I'm talking not about the local elections. Yeah. I'm talking about, the national elections.
Yeah, yeah.
Not so much the local Ohio, which I'm sure you cover otherwise than you did this morning.
Yeah.
But more talk about the Virginia and New Jersey, because he's very knowledgeable and he has a different perspective. But, you know, you'll give him a chance maybe on your show to share his ideas. That's my suggestion.
I will consider that, and I might shelf the idea of talking about communism or socialism till another time. So
yeah, I think he'd be very interesting because he has a different way of looking at things, and that's good.
Yeah, he does. He does.
Yeah.
And he and I get along fine. So
yes. So that's my suggestion. Ask Adam Lepp.
Okay. Very good.
And then 2 weeks from now, I'll be back.
Yeah. Now, tell our listeners what you're doing. It's kind of exciting what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm doing a lecture at Lifelong Learning for Florida Atlantic University in Fort Lauderdale. And I'm going to be speaking about Abraham Lincoln and, you know, the Civil War and the five former presidents who were alive at the time of the Civil War and their interaction with Lincoln. A few of them were opposed to what Lincoln was doing in the Civil War. Some were supportive. So these five presidents are Martin Van Buren, who was way back in the 1830s. He was still around. And then we had Millard Fillmore. We had also, Franklin Pierce, and also James Buchanan. So we had all those presidents, that at the time were still alive. And also John Tyler, who actually gave up his citizenship and became part of the Confederate Congress. And therefore, when he died a year into the war, the U.S. government did not acknowledge his death because he was seen as a traitor because he went to the South. And therefore, although he had died and we knew it, the flags did not fly at half-staff on the White House, government buildings, which happens for any president in office around when they pass away.
Well, what do you think of, and this is completely off of what I was thinking about talking about, but what do you think of down in your neck of the woods, of them taking down all the Confederate statues?
I agree with some, but not others. I'm not sure about Robert E. Lee. I know, he was a slave owner. They all were slave owners. Look, Jefferson was a slave owner. I would say some of the people that were more involved, that were not major figures, I would think so, and they have. But Lee, I don't know, because, they have done it in Richmond. I sort of like half agree, but not quite sure. But I think we do need to have teaching about the truth of the Civil War.
Yes.
And the facts of racial discrimination and slavery. And yet these people in the Republican Party don't want us to discuss that. And I think students don't have to feel guilty. It's not a question of feeling guilty. It's not as if you or I or any kid is responsible directly, but we should know what the history was.
Sure we should, yeah.
And this idea we're going to cover it up, and also the idea of refusing to accept sexual orientation and wanting to discriminate against people based on that. I mean, this is reality. Whether you like it or not, we live among among people of different backgrounds and orientations, and we need to know about it. And it doesn't mean you're encouraging it, but you can't suppress it either. It's not right to do that.
It's part of real life.
Yes.
It's not phony.
But it's a way to get votes. The Republicans are very good at scaring people.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right there.
It's really sad, yeah.
Now, Mike, the reason why I ask that is every once in a while they'll mention a statue is being pulled down, and I didn't even know who that was on the statue. It was a local Confederate person, and maybe they were really good for the local area. Why would you want to tear that down? I understand they were quote-unquote traitors to America.
Well, Nathan Bedford Forrest, who was a general in the Civil War from Tennessee, he became the head of the Ku Klux Klan, so statues have come down. I think that's appropriate.
I think that's appropriate.
So it depends on the person and the situation. And again, Lee was not a nice slave owner. I've learned recently. I didn't really know. And, you know, and but still, I don't know. It's just with Lee, I don't know. I have a mixed feeling on it.
He was not a nice slave owner?
Nice meaning there are some slave owners who treated their slaves with some kindness. We know that as a fact.
Yeah.
But some were really brutal, and apparently he was, so that's disturbing. You know, at least one. And I didn't even know this in the past, you know, but I've read up more, and, you know, makes you feel mixed on him. But the thing is, if for some reason Lee had not joined the other side, meaning the South, if he had remained loyal to the Union, he would have worked for Lincoln, he would have won the war and ended the war sooner, because it would not have lasted without Lee as long as it did, and he might have been president instead of Grant. How's that?
That would be interesting.
And then I don't think we'd be making an issue, oh, he was a slave owner, because all the presidents from, you know, from Washington through Taylor, except the two Adamses and Van Buren, were slave owners.
Yeah, yeah.
And we can't do anything about it. I mean, we can point out the facts, but we're not going to bring down the Jefferson Memorial, are we? I don't think so.
So yeah, probably not.
And yet there's a Jefferson statue in New York City Hall that they wanted to bring down, and I'm not sure I agree with that.
Well, and
it depends on the personality of the person involved, and a lot of it's a tough issue. That's all I can say.
It's really taking things out of context. Back in those days, not that it was right, but they weren't alone. So it was kind of the natural way of things. So.
Yes, unfortunately, we have the it's like an original sin, the sin of slavery. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure is.
Wish it hadn't been, but it was, you know.
Yeah.
So we should learn about it, though. We should have it where we hide it so people think, oh, everybody was great and there was no racial discrimination, no killing off of Native Americans like Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, it's terrible. And I bring it up in my class, but it doesn't bring, I don't think it means you get rid of Jackson statues, no. But you teach the facts, the truth.
Yeah.
You don't have to make a kid feel guilty. He has nothing to do with it, but they need to know the truth.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's what we should be teaching. And this silliness about, what do they call it? Some sort of racial... Where right now it seems to be a Democratic talk or a Republican talking point where you're not allowed to teach the facts about
CRT, critical race theory, which is not taught anywhere anyway, except maybe in law school.
And most people don't know what it is anyway. It's a talking point that they.
But people don't seem to care.
Yeah.
They don't care about being ignorant. That's what bothers me the most.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I want to know what reality is, but a lot of people, and then it affects their kids. They don't want to have the kids exposed. Because they might have bad feelings. Well, you don't have to feel guilty, but you don't have to feel happy about what happened. You need to know the facts, though.
And you find out what you don't want to do in the future, or what you do want to do in the future.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of ignorance, I think, as far as the way people voted yesterday. But what are you going to do? It's the way it is.
Well, that's what we talked about that, Scott and I, on our show.
Yeah.
And I said, unfortunately, we have, in this area, we have a lot of ignorance. And we seem to have an awful lot of religious undertones to much of this stuff that's going on, which I really feel, and I know people will say, well, you're an atheist, and that's why you feel that way. But no, I've always felt that we should keep religion out of politics.
Absolutely, because that's what's ever theocracy. But these people claim to be good, whatever, are not good because they're not following the teachings of Jesus or Moses or whoever. You know, so how can they claim they're good Christians? I mean, it drives me crazy, you know?
Well, it is kind of amazing how many more evangelistas, as my son would call them,
evangelicals. Yeah, I want to tell you, I don't think I did last week. I wrote an entry a while back about evangelicals, how can they back Trump and call him like a god?
Yeah.
I don't think I talked about it. And I put it on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and LinkedIn took it off.
You did tell me that, and I didn't know what the story was about that you said was taken off.
Yeah, LinkedIn, you know, it took it off. In fact, if I can find it, you know, if you want me to do it, I'll find it and I'll...
Send it to me. I'd love to read it.
Yeah. Well, I can even do it on the show, I'm saying, if you want me to.
That would be good, yeah.
See, just a moment, I've got to find it. Give me a minute, okay.
Now
I'm looking for it.
Well, and also, I've got a other things I wanted to talk about, the climate conference that's going on, it was kind of nondescript to me.
Yeah, well, of course, the fact that we didn't do anything about that in time for the conference is an embarrassment, you know?
Yeah, I felt the same thing, and I felt that the president was kind of stuck there with a script and didn't feel a lot of love and support.
Yes.
I don't know, and I think we need to think about it, otherwise we won't have a world to care about here in a while.
Yes.
I mean, I don't want to lose democracy, but I definitely don't want to lose world.
Yes. Anyway, I found the article was October 17th, and they rejected it, and I appealed, and they still wouldn't allow it back on. It was on briefly, and then they took it off. LinkedIn, not Facebook or Twitter. Yep. So here it goes. The evil hypocrisy of so-called, quote, in quote, devout evangelical people who accept Donald Trump as speaking for God. Exclamation mark. It is absolutely outrageous that many so-called, quote, devout, end quote, evangelical people accept Donald Trump as speaking for God. Donald Trump is the complete opposite of what is considered basic teachings of Jesus, including compassion, empathy, tolerance, and promoting the best behavior by people. Trump is supported by racists, nativists, misogynists, homophobes, Islamophobes, and anti-Semites, and has lied and deceived his entire life, including more than 30,000 times during his presidency. Trump is far from being a devout Christian as imaginable, as he only worships his own ego. Trump provoked the January 6th U.S. Capitol insurrection and continues to promote the big lie, in quotes, that he won the 2020 presidential election. And I just want to point out, it's now a year on Sunday, November 7th, since the victory was declared for Biden, and he's still fighting it. So, anyway, back to the article. Trump was impeached twice and lost a popular vote both in 2016, when Russian collusion helped to put him in office, and in 2020, and both times by a massive margin, 2.85 million in 2016, 7 million in 2020. Trump's whole purpose is to regain power and establish an authoritarian fascist government. For any religious, in quotes, person to see Donald Trump as speaking for God demonstrates how evil and hypocritical such individuals are, and the concept that America should be become a theocracy defies the teachings of the founding fathers who promoted separation of church and state. Exclamation mark. That's it.
Wow. Now that goes right along with my little speech about being a Nazi. Goes right along the line.
They reject it. I don't know why. First, I just don't understand it, but, you know, it doesn't matter. It was on briefly, and I have it on my blog, and it got on Facebook and Twitter, but I just don't understand it, really, because I don't think anything I said, I'm not using foul language, I'm not saying anything that I don't think is not, I think everything I'm saying is valid.
Yeah, it's free speech, right?
Yeah. Well, but these media, like Facebook is a disgrace. You know, I really think, oh, sorry, use the word disgrace.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
If I know Scott says that word, I'll have to remember when I'm on with him to not use that word.
It's interesting, the silly things that'll make you chuckle.
I know he hates the word disgrace, but I use it quite a bit, as he used it also, right?
Well, I've used the word disgrace occasionally. Oh, well. We'll let him worry about it. He's at work at another job right now.
He's probably shaking his head and rolling his eyes right now. I'll be curious to know how he reacts when he sees you next about what I just said.
Well, I think he only listens to about the first 15 minutes of our show. So
I see. I think he can listen to it after the fact, you know.
Yeah, he might do that.
Probably a couple good laughs with him over it.
I may bring it up to him so that he will listen to it.
Yes.
Anyway, well, what do you think about the climate conference? Did you think Biden was kind of soft-pedaling it?
I think he's in a position where he doesn't know what's going to be done by us, so it was a bad time to have this conference because our government is so slow to take action. But I thought the way he spoke, he was strong. It was just, who knows? But, you know, the Indian leader, Modi, who I think is a real character, he claimed that they're going to solve the issue as far as getting off, the kind of, like oil and coal by 2070.
Oh, my.
And I'm thinking, sounds good, late. But he and you and I and everybody we know, except the younger people, are not going to be around. And I hate to say it, it's going to take 50 years?
Yeah, that's...
Is that something to brag about? I mean, I don't, maybe... No. I don't, it sounds horrible. It does.
You want to talk about kicking the can down the road? That's a long way down the road.
Yeah. 2070!
Yikes.
And who's going to be sure it's going to happen? That's why I hate to say it. I think the globe is in trouble.
Yeah,
still trouble.
Afraid. Well, supposedly we're at it, and we can't turn around after about 10 years, and that's pretty close. Now,
and what it comes down to is, if you have a lot of money, you'll be able. Even though a lot of the people who have money are on the ocean, near the ocean or lakes, but they'll have to move. But if you have money, somehow you'll survive. You'll have a way to survive. But if you're poor, and there's going to be a few billion people in the world, especially the third world nations, Asia, Africa, Latin America, we're going to have massive desire to migrate to the safe areas, which is Europe, and, you know, of course, the United States, and you know, in Canada. It's going to be bloodshed over it, because people don't want people to come in as migrants. We know that even in our country, and it's going to be a question of survival. A lot of people are going to die either in bloodshed and war, or because of all kinds of natural disasters that nothing can be done about.
Well, there are island nations in the South Pacific that are already underwater. So,
yes,
and I don't mean underwater like they are literally underwater.
Yes, I really don't know what can be done. You know, and the thing is, Donald Trump didn't help it by being there and slowing things up. And even without him, it's a question where the world's nations, particularly the big ones, take the action needed. And I don't know if Russia or China is going to do anything.
All right, let's talk about it. We got about 10 minutes left.
Yes.
Riot, the January 6th riot commission.
Insurrection, yes.
That's going on. Is it strong enough? Do you have any feelings about where we're going?
Well,
with that?
We have to see how it develops. It's a very slow process, but I must commend Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney.
Yes.
And now, as I wrote, Kinzinger is not running for his House seat because the Democrats in Illinois have Jerry, like both parties do, if they have the favoritism in their state, and gerrymandered. He really can't win the area that he was in.
Oh.
So he's not going to run, but I think what's going to happen is he's going to announce for president after he finishes his term next year. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to be elected, but I think he'll be a Republican challenger to Trump or all the Trumpites. I don't know if he'll do very well, but he's a young guy in his 40s, a good-looking guy. He speaks well and has 12 years in the House of Representatives, a lot of time, and he also serves in the military for many years. So I think he's an interesting candidate, too conservative for me to vote for him, but he could very well run as an independent to stop Trump or somebody like a Trump and, in indirect way, help elect a Democrat.
Don't you think he's too liberal for the Republican Party, though?
He's conservative on every issue except Trump. I mean, it's not like I like him, but of course they'll say he's a rhino, Republican in name only.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid they're going to start throwing at.
Yes, but he can compete in primaries, probably will win, but then he can run as an independent like an H. Ross Perot or a John Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could. He wouldn't win. I don't see how he could, because third party. But he could try. He could be there to stop Donald Trump or anybody as outrageous as Donald Trump, like Ron DeSantis, let's say, or Greg Abbott, or Ted Cruz. I feel like I'm ready to vomit even saying Ted Cruz's name. If he runs, he could siphon away enough votes to make sure that the Trumpite candidate, whether it's Trump or someone else, doesn't get elected.
Well, do you still think that Trump's going to run in 24?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be alive. He's in poor health, mental and physical, and he still could be indicted and face trial. I hope not. But
he could be elected president and be in jail, so that doesn't make any difference, does it?
Well, not. You think of Eugene Debs, who ran in 1920 while in jail, but he wasn't going to win. No, if he's indicted, I don't see how he could be nominated. You know, unless he's found not guilty, whatever. It's so many factors. It's impossible. It's still too early. A year from now, after the midterms, then people start announcing, and then it'll be the real race beginning. And it could affect the Democrats because, you know, many people are saying Joe Biden he's going to be 79 on November 20th.
Yep.
He'll be just short of 82 on Election Day, but he'll be 82 before the next inauguration. And I think people are going to think maybe, or maybe even himself, the stress. success of the job, I mean, who needs that kind of pressure at that age? He may decide in mid-2023 to announce he will finish his term but will not run for another term, a little like Calvin Coolidge did in 1927, and then it opens up the race.
Well, do you think, well, obviously, Harris would be a top candidate, I would assume, because she's vice president.
Yes.
But who else would, do you think, might jump into that?
Oh, there's a whole slew of people who would love to run, including a lot of the people who ran in 2020 and didn't get very far, I think.
Okay.
You know, I think, and the thing is, Harris, I love her, but she has not made much of an impression so far. She hasn't been really out there much.
What vice president does, though?
Well, but Joe Biden was more engaged. I don't know why Biden and Harris, why he hasn't given her more to do. Or it's, I'm not saying he's against her, but it just seems like he's not really promoting her. But I think Mondale was like a co-president under Carter, and Gore was very active, and we still like knew he was going to run after Clinton. I don't know what to make of Harris, but she doesn't have very high popularity ratings, but neither does Joe Biden right now. But I think, you know, Harris is going to have to face a challenge. Now, if, God forbid, Joe Biden passes away and she becomes president by succession, then it would be harder to oppose her. They could, but it's like Lyndon Johnson. He never would have been elected on his own, before he became president because of the assassination of Kennedy. But once he was in, it was really hard to, hard within the party to oppose him. So I think Harris, if she succeeds during the term, will have an edge, but otherwise it's going to be a real battle royal.
As a not so young person, I'm hoping that he decides at 82 years old he'll do it. But
he has to really announce it like in mid 2023, so people can compete in the primaries and caucuses. He can't, keep it guessing. He has to announce he's running or not. I'd say by June, July of 2023, so because he's still going to have impact. Of course, maybe earlier, possibly, but it all depends on his health. But honestly, he's been president. He hopefully will have accomplished quite a bit, and there's nothing horrible about having one term.
Yeah, no, there isn't. Don't you think the fact that Trump is kind of holding out and not saying whether he's going to run or not, don't you think that's an advantage for the Democrats? Because as long as he keeps putting it off, the Republicans are going to be afraid, and I don't know why they're afraid of him, but
I actually think people are going to announce, even if he doesn't announce early.
Okay.
I don't think they're all going to stay loyal in the sense of that if Trump runs, I won't even announce. I think there's too many ambitious people.
Yeah.
Or most of them horrible people like Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and people like that. Really just really disgraceful. See, I'm saying disgraceful now.
why does the Republican Party seem at this particular point in time to attract people like that? And they are. Even at the local level.
I don't know what it is, but they're mean-spirited, nasty people, almost all. See, I would not put Kinzinger and Cheney in that category, or a few of the others. Even Romney I wouldn't put in that category, Ben Sasse. But the Republican Party is just, to me, it's a party that's disgraced. Okay, here we go again. Disgrace the party of Lincoln and T.R. and Ike.
Yeah.
To me, it's not the same party.
I'm writing down the number of times you said
it. I'm sorry about that, Scott.
Oh, man. Anyway, well, I think the fact that Trump is not saying one way or the other, the longer he goes, the better it is for the Democrats, because I truly believe that the Republicans, for some reason or other, are frightened of
yes.
what Trump might do.
But on the other hand, I do think that with Trump, they can't, the Democrats, just talk about Trump. They have to talk about what they're accomplishing.
Absolutely.
And why they're doing good things for the American people. That's come out even in the news this morning and watch. And it's true, because you can't just run on the election that you hate Trump. You have to have real accomplishments. And there has been some on the whole issue of the pandemic, but it's got to go further, and they've got to get these bills done.
Well, in my opinion, I am a Democrat, and in my opinion, hate is not the way to win, but it seems like a lot of people are using it pretty well.
Yes, and I'm just hoping that the compassion and decency that Joe Biden represents and Kamala Harris represents, and that most Democrats represent, can triumph. But it's going to be a very interesting year, no question about it.
I think people look at that and they say, well, they're soft. You know, I really...
It's what?
They're soft. We don't fight back. We don't kick people in the...
We don't enough, but we can do it in a dignified way, hopefully. But it's tough, you know. It really is. Yeah. Anyway, we're down to just about a minute or so. So, again, I won't be on next week. I'm sorry about that, but I'll be back in 2 weeks. I look forward to being on your show into the future.
You do know that familiarity breeds contempt, so...
Yes.
It might go the other way. Maybe you will look forward to you coming back so much.
Okay, but again, I would at least suggest Adam Lepp to replace me for the show.
I will tell Adam that, and if it works out, we'll see if we can't talk to Adam about doing that sort of thing.
Yeah. Or else you can also, I guess, you do tape the shows once they're on, so you can rerun a show, couldn't you?
Sure, we can do that, yeah.
Maybe rerun this week if you can't think of anything else. Yeah.
Well, I'll think of something.
Okay, I want to wish you the best, and I'm looking forward to this lecture on Lincoln and the Five Former Presidents next week.
Well, I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
So thank you so much.
So have a good day.
All right.
I'll see you on the 17th of November.
Excellent. Thanks, Dr. Feynman.
Bye-bye.
Excuse me. Oh, as I cough right in his face. Dr. Feynman, I'm really proud that he's doing that sort of thing. He is a really sharp guy. He knows a lot of stuff. He embarrasses me sometimes when he says things that I have no idea what he's talking about. Well, I hope you join us tomorrow on the line, and we'll still be thinking about new things that we'll talk about tomorrow, and we'll have some trivia as well on Swap Shop. So have a good day. Talk to you later.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. For legendary comedian Dick Gregory.
I just fixed my prayer to the real God. I said, hey man, there are some Negroes that deserve cancer, but I am not one of them. I said, if you need some help with your tie, you need 12 black folks maybe. I'll put them on a piece. If you need something close to the house, I'll give you that too. And then I looked at my body and I said, cancer, I ain't never bothered you. And I dare you to bother me. I'm going to give you 72 hours.